Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. On this special Christmas day, let us not forget the wondrous incarnation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. From all of us at the Christian Research Institute, we wish you a Merry Christmas. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Well, thank you very much, Randy, and Merry Christmas to all of you. I hope you're having a wonderful day with family members and friends. Most important, a wonderful day with our incarnate Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Over the last 4 days, I've attempted to prepare your heart for Christmas, for Christ's coming in flesh. And to make that journey memorable, I organized the last 4 days around my Christmas acronym, each word representing something transcendently important, none more than the Christ of Christmas, the C in the acronym. Luke's Gospel said it best, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ. He is Christ the Lord." As mentioned on Monday, the Christ of Christmas is the long-awaited Messiah who fulfills all the types and shadows of the Old Testament scriptures. On Monday, we also talked about the historical reality of Christ coming in flesh. That as you ponder the history of Christmas, you can be absolutely certain that Christ, His coming in flesh, is demonstrably rooted in history and evidence. On Tuesday, I talked about resurrection and incarnation, because without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there's little point in even discussing what we are celebrating today. Why? Well, because if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, said the Apostle Paul, and so is your faith. And with respect to incarnation, as I said this week, like the Trinity, this doctrine may be considered by some to be incoherent, but in reality, the doctrine of incarnation, while miraculous, does not transgress the laws of logic. I say that because miracles like incarnation are not only possible, but they turn out to be absolutely necessary in order to make sense of the universe in which we live. So if we're willing to believe that God created the heavens and the earth, we should have no problem accepting His incarnation in time and space. Well, on Wednesday, we moved to the S and the T in Christmas, representing Santa and traditions. What I said a couple of days ago, tongue-in-cheek, is that even Santa can be saved. Not far from being a dangerous fairy tale, Santa Claus is a reference to St. Nicholas, a Christian bishop from the 4th century who lavished gifts on needy children, but also who valiantly supported the doctrine of the Trinity at the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD. The example of St. Nick is a constant reminder to generously support God-ordained ministries so that the message of salvation can reach those who have not as yet received the quintessential gift. And with respect to traditions, I talked about the significance of the Christmas tree tradition, the tradition of gift-giving, and arguably the oldest and most significant of all Christmas traditions, that of Epiphany, which highlights the reality that due to our sin, we can't come to God. Thus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, has come to us. And yesterday I moved to the last three letters in the Christmas acronym representing miracles, Advent, and salvation. With respect to miracles, it pointed out that as we encounter those who capriciously cast aspersions on the miraculous nature of the virgin birth, it's your responsibility, my responsibility, to demonstrate that the miracle of Christ coming in flesh is not blind faith, but faith founded on a refutable fact. Respecting Advent, which literally means coming, I noted that we not only celebrate the first Advent, but we look forward to a final Advent, an Advent in which the bridegroom will return and carry his bride over the threshold of Jordan into the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. And then I ended the Christmas acronym with salvation, talking about the triple barrier set aside by Christ, that of nature by his incarnation, of sin by his death, and of death by his resurrection. But today on Christmas Day, I want to focus, as I do each year, on what I call the spirit of Christmas. And as I do, I want to ask you a question. Do you have that Christmas spirit? I mean, do you really have that Christmas spirit? Better yet, what is the Christmas spirit? Is it the warm and familiar feeling of being with family and friends around a soothing fire and flickering candlelight? Is it the joy of seeing anticipation in the eyes of a child? Is it the satisfaction of unwrapping a special gift? Or could it be something else? The answer is found in Christ, who, for our sake, came that Christmas morn 2,000 years ago, who for our sake condescended to cloak himself in human flesh, who emptied himself, who made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, who far from grasping the prerogatives of divinity, humbled himself. That, I would argue, is the spirit of Christmas. It's not just the rush we experience when we get a gift, get a feeling, get a bonus. All these are wonderful in and of themselves, but the real spirit of Christmas is found not in what we get. It's found in what we give. It is becoming ever more like our Savior in the spirit of selflessness. And not just during the Christmas season, not just on Christmas Day, but rather throughout the remainder of our lives. So this Christmas season, just as during every Christmas season, I and my family have a prayer for you and yours, just as we have a prayer for ourselves. And that prayer is that as we see images of the poor standing in soup lines or on our smartphones, television screens, in person, that we might see ourselves placing a piece of bread in the hands of the hungry. Because as we remember those in nursing homes, as we remember dispensing hugs, as we remember the widows and orphans, we are imagining ourselves doing the very thing that Jesus did, and that is healing the hurts of the world. We're his instruments, we're his hands and his feet. Ultimately, it is the dispensing of the bread of life. Of the bread of life, said Jesus, he who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he'll live forever. So as you see, the spirit of Christmas is not a once-in-a-year experience. It's the spirit to embrace throughout the entirety of the coming year, it's the spirit of Ebenezer Scrooge who experienced a complete metamorphosis after his encounters with the spirit of Christmas past, the spirit of Christmas present, and the spirit of Christmas yet to come. It is the spirit I want to rebirth in my soul as each Christmas I and my family watch yet another rendition, as is our tradition, of A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. When I come back from the break, I want to go to something I hope will become a tradition in your family. Stay tuned for that. And in the meantime, thank you so much for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Thank you for giving in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org or via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. I'll be right back with more.
Christians agree that life and truth are important. But have you considered how the absence of truth can actually ruin lives? How distortions of truth can lead people to make tragic decisions affecting not only their lives, but also the lives of others? This Christmas, as we celebrate the birth of the one who is the way and the truth and the life, why not help others to continue receiving biblical truth through the Bible Answer Man broadcast? To make a Christmas gift that can transform lives, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so stay tuned. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
Modern science popularizers often suggest there is no need for God and deny any evidence of his existence. But the story of the cosmos provides an honest and fascinating perspective, pointing to a God who makes himself known through the wonder and beauty of his creation. The Story of the Cosmos, How the Heavens Declare the Glory of God, is a beautifully illustrated book featuring experts such as William Lane Craig, Guillermo Gonzalez, Melissa Kane Travis, Michael Ward, and others, taking a deeper look at the universe and exploring the traces of God's glory in the latest discoveries of astronomy, science, literature, and art. To receive your copy of The Story of the Cosmos, How the Heavens Declare the Glory of God, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. And as we wrap up this Christmas Day edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, I want to do something that I don't think I've ever done on the air, although I do it each year in my own home with my own children and with my grandchildren. And that is to read the narrative given to us by Dr. Luke in chapter 2 with respect to the birth of Christ. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men, on whom his favor rests." When the angels had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, this thing which the Lord has told us about." They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it, all were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all of these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned. They glorified and praised God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. As I close this broadcast, it's my prayer that this passage, which is read every year on the eve of the Nativity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as I said before, might be read in your home as well, And that it might become a tradition heard by your children and by their children. For like the shepherds who proclaim Christ to the world, we too are called to perpetuate the gossamer strand that I talked about on Monday's Bible Answer Man broadcast. Jacob Neusner rightly said that civilization hangs suspended from generation to generation by the gossamer strand of memory. If only one generation of parents fails to convey to its children what it has learned from its own parents, then the great chain of historical reality, it snaps. We have a responsibility to pass on the faith once for all delivered to the saints. For it is the reality of Christ's incarnation, of his life, of his death, of his resurrection, of his ascension that is transformative. It is, in fact, the very impetus behind Western civilization, once the greatest mission-sending force in the history of humanity. And yet, as I speak, a civilization that is in the throes of death. But you and I are not called to curse the darkness, nor to try to prognosticate what is going to happen in the future. You and I are called to make a difference while there is yet time. We can't do anything about what has passed. We can't do anything about what might necessarily be, but we can have this moment today. A moment in which we can use our influence, first in our family and then in the world, to make a difference, to develop what I call an eternal perspective. We start by saturating ourselves and our families in the Word of God, something Jesus modeled. And then we proceed by viewing this world with an eye toward eternity. We do that by focusing on the needs of others. As our Master sacrificed himself for the sins of the world, we must learn to live selflessly rather than selfishly. Because at the judgment, those who fed the hungry, gave drink to the thirsty, clothed the naked, cared for the sick, and visited those in prisons will be rewarded if they had done these things. Not just to be seen, but done these things for the Lord himself. Because that's really what it's all about. If you have done this to the least of one of these, you have done it, said Jesus, unto me. And finally, we develop an eternal perspective by withdrawing from the invasive sounds of the world so that we can hear the sounds of another place, another voice. Dr. Luke told us that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Unlike the religious leaders of his day, Jesus did not pray to be seen by men. He prayed because he treasured fellowship with his heavenly Father. So if you wish to develop the kind of perspective that leads to abundant living both now and for all eternity, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then said our Lord, your Father who sees what is done in secret, will, not might, but will reward you. So do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For, said Jesus, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Well, today, as every year, on Christmas Day, I wish you a Merry Christmas and a year in 2021 in which you not only have an eternal perspective, but make a difference for time and for eternity. Thank you to all of you who this year stood with us prayerfully and financially, shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. You have indeed made a difference on this planet, a difference that will be remembered in the renewed universe that is to come. Merry Christmas. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. This Christmas, as we celebrate the birth of the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, why not help others to continue receiving biblical truth in Christ through the Bible Answer Man broadcast? To make a Christmas gift that can transform lives, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.